Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there, and bow before him there. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 348.
Thank you. read from God's holy word from the book of Psalms, thereof Psalm 84, but first the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give peace, will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, and thy servant did say, thou art a sun and shield, and thou knowest what we need, for the sun does give life upon the earth, and that we may hear a little bit of that life that thou givest unto thy church, those who are brought with all the desire of their soul to long to come, come to thy house of prayer, even in the days of old. O Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thou who wast a son then, art also a son today. Oh, that thou would shine with thy rays to give life, to give warmth, give opening, oh, to give those desires, that men may come to thy house with expectation and with hope. Oh, that they may come with encouragement from thee, who dost command to come up unto thy house of prayer, and who does promise thy blessing in that place. O Lord, together we come from Sabbath day to Sabbath day. O, we beseech thee, thou knowest all the hearts of us who do come up, and maybe for so many years together, and then they may look and they may hear upon those who may come up with hope and expectation. O Lord, a jealousy as sometimes in the hearts of those who feel as so dead and so cold. O, give them in this hour to know and to experience that thou art a sun and that thou art a shield, or that they may feel that warmth in their own hearts, that may fill them with the love of thee, that may draw them to thy tabernacle, that may draw them with desires to know thee, the true and the living God. Oh, that they may be able to say with thy servant, a day in thy house is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, give us, Lord, as such a little place, as such a place in the back, oh, such a lowest place in thy house in this day, that we may desire just a crumb that may fall from the Master's table, that we may not desire all that is the greatest and the highest, but that we may, that it may be a wonder to us if we may only be included, that we may only not be cast away from thee in that great day of days as we so justly deserve. Oh, do make thy house a pleasant place for us, a place which is which draws our soul, that we might eat there and we may drink there. Oh, that thy servant may receive there also a blessing from thy heavenly store, that it may be evident that thou dost not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and that others also may be edified, that thou would be a shield unto all those that do feel the darts of the enemy, that do experience what sin does in their miserable soul, O Lord, that do fight as part of that church militant and has no power against that great company that cometh against them. O then to know that thou art that shield, and that thou dost deflect every arrow, and that there is nothing that is able to touch that people who are the apple of God's eye. O Lord, show to us the beauty of thy people. Show to us the beauty of the Lord. Open unto us that which is closed to us by nature. For we have heard also in this morning hour that thou art he that does withhold the eyes, and that does close them, and thou art he that does open them. O thou can shut, and no man can open. O Lord, thou shuttest the ears, and we hear not. Thou openest them, and then that blessed sound does come into our ears. Thou closest the heart, and we receive nothing. And thou openest the heart, and we attend unto that word that is spoken. O Lord, it all comes from thee. And thou art God, and thou hast the great storehouses of the greater Joseph so full of corn. O, open them, Lord, and we beseech thee, for we have no power as a minister, and we have no power as people to do anything except thou wouldst be pleased to look upon us. Oh, could it be even in and through thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that thou mayest look upon thine anointed as thy servant did ask so many years ago. Look upon him, Lord. And when thou lookest upon him, oh, then it is possible to have mercy upon us, because there is none of us that is able to bring one thing before thee. All our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. All, there is nothing wherewith we are able to incline thee to repent of that curse that thou hast placed upon us. O Lord, there is nothing in us that is worthy that thou shouldest do anything for us and that is favorable. And yet thou showest us calm and grace once again to give to us all the necessities of our life, and now to bring us again above so many in this world that are not given this opportunity to come up unto thy house of prayer. O Lord, thou givest it unto us in a physical and an outward way. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, who dost walk amongst the seven golden candlesticks, that thou wouldest also feed us with thyself. Oh, that blessed sacrifice, oh, that we may be given also to know that thou art God, and that thou dwellest on high, and that thou lookest, and thou stoopest, and thou humblest thyself to behold all the things that are done under the heavens. And oh, may it be also in this thy holy place, where we bring here nothing but our own wretched hearts, all of our misery, all of our sin, all of our iniquity, all of our transgressions. Oh, it is a wonder that thou castest not away immediately when we come into thy holy place. Oh, Lord, that power of the blood of thy Son, oh, that is so mighty and that is almighty with thee, who hast promised and who will never go back upon what thou hast spoken with an oath. Oh, could it be also experienced now? Oh, may it be this day, and when thou promised where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, show it, Lord. Show it that thou art true. Show it that thou art faithful. Show it that thou art just, and that thou wilt not cast away those whom thou countest in thy dear Son. Oh, they cannot be cast away for his sake. Include us, Lord. Oh, could it be undeservedly, both young and old, the children, the young ones, all give it in their hearts, while they're still so very young, that they may be kept from much sin in their life. Oh, that their hearts may go out after that mediator. Oh, that they might learn, while they're still so young, to smite upon their little breast, and to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that they may cry out in all their wretchedness and in their misery, and when they bend their little knees before their bed in the evening. Oh, Lord, that they may go to their beds and with tears in their eyes because of all of their iniquity, and that thou may speak unto them in such a way as thou hast spoken even unto a young Samuel who was laying upon his bed. And thou didst speak unto him so kindly, O Lord, so lovingly, O granted unto our children, O that they might know what thou art in and through that blessed mediator, and what thou art able to be to a young person who has also nothing but sin in his heart. O teach it to all of us, Lord. Remember us as parents, as grandparents. Give us faithfulness, give us diligence. Remember our school and the teachers and the school board, all that are involved. Oh, Lord, bless the means. Use it that it may be all for thy glory and for thy honor and for the welfare of our dear children. Look upon those that hope to be united in this week in that bond of holy matrimony. Help thy servant who hopes to be here also and administer this service. O Lord, be on his right and on his left. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit. O give unto this young couple a special day in thy house of prayer, a special beginning. O could it be in that tender fear of thy most holy name. Lord, remember all those that are sick. They are afflicted. Thou knowest how that their hearts can go over this world so heavy. O Lord, thy hand that is heavy upon them. O, we beseech thee for help from above. We beseech thee for strength. O, we beseech thee for a blessing. O, to speak unto their souls. O Lord, that thou may deliver them from all their iniquity. Oh, if it could please thee to bless the means and to spare their life. But oh, may it be for a reason, and that thou hast so oppressed them that it could be for the magnification of thy grace and of thy mercy in their own hearts. Oh, that they might know, Lord, that thou art God and that they might know also the tender mercy of thy dear and only begotten Son. Remember those that are barren and those that have needs wherein they are lonely, those that walk over this world in handicaps and in other difficulties of mind or of body. Wilt thou supply for all the needs of those who are hungry and thirsty in this world, who have not the necessities of life? Care for our government, all that must be decided in the time that lies before us. O Lord, we beseech thee, have mercy upon our nation, and O keep us as thy church. O, for thou art a shield. Lord, thou art the shield. O, that we might look to thee, and not unto men, for the days are coming, wherein there shall be persecution, and we know it, but we don't want to go through it. O Lord, we beseech thee, that thou mayest help in all these circumstances. Remember us as a consistory and a congregation when we hope to meet again in this week. O Lord, provide, as thou dost always and hast always, also for us as a congregation, or that thou may give us a man in thy favor, and that he may serve with us, and that we may be enabled to do the work of our hands in the midst of the congregation over which thou hast made us overseers. And bless thou, Lord, all the work of our hands, that it may be for profit all for all of us upon our short journey between the cradle and the grave. Wilt thou be with us in this hour? O Lord, we beseech thee for help in the bringing of thy holy word. We need to be taught from heaven if we will teach our congregation from heaven. O Lord, give us thy words in our mouth as thou hast promised unto us, and do instruct us and give us to feel and to believe that thou art near and that thou speakest in the midst of us. Convert us, Lord, as thou convertest all thy people. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, I cry to thee, our Father's God, to thee. Let my petition reach thy ear, my prayer accepted be. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 226. Beloved congregation, the God's servant David did write in Psalm 27, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, and that I may inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired." So he spoke about his desires. Do you now have desires? What kinds of things do you desire? Because our fathers speak about our desires, our affections, and they say by nature they are irregular. That means that they are not according to the pattern. That is, they are not according to the standard, and that God has made them. Our desires are, our affections are irregular. But now David desired, he says, the house of the Lord. Do you desire the house of the Lord? Do you think maybe that, well, that may say that there is a change in my heart? Maybe that means that I am converted. What do you think, young people? Well, it is a good thing, that is for sure. But it is certainly no sure mark. And why not? Because there are aspects of coming to the house of God which are also agreeable to our flesh. Thus, that is a very warm thing when we can belong, and when we can all come together. And that is a good thing. That is a created thing, but it remains a natural thing. And maybe when we sing a song that is very sad, then our heart can be inclined to weep. Or we sing a song wherein there is more hope, then our heart can be inclined to be encouraged or to be glad. That is a good thing. That is a created thing, but it remains a natural thing. Thus, a desire for the house of the Lord is good. But David's desire was further distinguished. How? Well, he spoke about why, that he desired to come in that house of the Lord. He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Thus, maybe now we need to lay ourselves beside this. Why? Is it that our desire is to come up to the house of the Lord? Is that more than just natural? What are the things that you desire to behold? There are many, many beautiful things in this world, in the creation. And we look around and we may see the beautiful mountains and the beautiful sunshine, and we see the beautiful animals and the fish and the birds and the sunset, and there is no end. Then there are also beautiful things that men have made. They say the great wonders of the world, if you will go and look at the beautiful pyramids or the hanging gardens of Babylon. Satan sees beauty in sin. You see beauty in sin, young people? when Satan does set before you his theater, a whole theater now, you need not to go to the building anymore. Bring that theater, you put that right in your pocket now. So where you may go and be in secret maybe, you can watch that theater. And then he sets before you all the desires of your flesh, that sinful flesh. Ah, what do you want to see? Oh, do you ever say with David, oh, could I only see the beauty of the Lord? So what is that? That is not merely the beauty of his creation. That is the beauty of the Lord himself. So that is different. Because the Lord is not able to be seen. That is right. Thus it is a spiritual sight. But because it is spiritual, doesn't make it one bit less real. Oh, David says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David says, I have seen it. I have seen it in the sanctuary. And that is a sight that the church never gets tired of. David, when we go to the mountains, maybe you say, Mother, Father, I don't want to go there again because I have seen that 5-10 times already. And I have seen it. I don't need to see it again. But what did David say? Oh, he says, I have seen that in the sanctuary. And he says, oh, he says, I have a desire that I may dwell there, that I may live there. Church knows that desire. David does not speak for himself alone, though he speaks for that entire church of God. He says, oh, could I dwell there all the days of my life and to behold continually that beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. What do you think, children? Young people, what do you think? You ever have such a desire? The Lord give you such a desire in your young heart. Maybe you say, why the house of the Lord? Is the Lord not able to do that anywhere to show unto a man his beauty? He is. The Lord is not tied to time. The Lord is not tied to a place. The Lord is free, but it pleaseth the Lord to reveal himself, especially in his house. And therefore he has instituted the Sabbath day that we want to consider in this afternoon in the fourth commandment of his holy law. Fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. And that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor. Secondly, that all the days of my life I may cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. God's law, the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day. First, the institution of the Sabbath day. Second, the purpose of the Sabbath day. And third, the means of the Sabbath day. God's law, the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day. First, the institution. Second, the purpose. Third, the means of the Sabbath day. Thus, the institution of the Sabbath day. When did the Sabbath day begin? Children, what was the first Sabbath day? Where do you read that in the Bible? Say, we read that in the book of Genesis already, in Genesis chapter 2, after God has completed the creation of the entire world, then we read that He sanctified the seventh day, He set it apart, and He blessed, we read, the seventh day. Thus, the Sabbath was not a ceremony of the Levitical priesthood, because the Levitical priesthood, that was later, and then there were many ceremonies that the Lord has given unto the children of Israel. But we see the Sabbath day was instituted by the Lord long before. Thus, it belongs to creation itself. And thus, if it is not instituted with that Levitical priesthood, it also does not end with the Levitical priesthood. When Christ came, and all of those ceremonies were fulfilled in Him, then all of those ceremonies ceased. But that is not true of the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day has a deeper foundation than those ceremonies had. Indeed, part of the Sabbath day is ceremonial. What does that mean? Well, that is the day that Sabbath day is on. That is that Sabbath day was originally on the seventh day. Paul writes to the Colossians, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Let no man judge you." Why is that? Well, the Jewish church had many Sabbath days. They did not only have one day in the week, but then there was also the monthly Sabbath. And there was also the yearly Sabbath. And so there were many Sabbath days, and all of those Sabbath days, they belonged unto the ceremonial law. And thus, those Sabbaths and the other kinds of days that the Lord had given in that ceremonial law were also called sometimes Sabbaths. And then Paul says, "Let no man judge you concerning these Sabbaths." In other words, those Sabbaths belonged to a different time. And so also that particular day wherein that weekly Sabbath was held belonged to the ceremonial part of that law. But the fact that one day out of seven needs to be set apart for the devotion to the Lord is not ceremonial. That is that is existing here before us in the moral law. Thus it is written by the Lord on the two tables of stone. So not the particular day of the week is, but that there must be a day that is moral. And thus the church, just like everything else, the church as a body, that is, as an entire body, is enabled to choose that day, but they must choose a day. From the time of the resurrection of Christ, then we know that the church has chosen a day. They have chosen the day that the Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. That day is a day that they have seen as very special. It was necessary for them to choose something. If they would have to choose a Wednesday or a Thursday to be the Sabbath day, they may do that. But what reason was there for them to do that? And thus that early church already, the apostolic church, has already chosen that first day of the week. And now that the Lord says, remember that Sabbath day, is showing to that church that it is extremely important that we are not to forget that Sabbath day. When the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, we read that the Lord appeared to him on the Lord's Day. So the Lord's Day was the term that was used by the church in that time. That is, the Christian church, they used the term Lord's Day in order to distinguish themselves that day from the Jewish Sabbath day, which was still held on the seventh day of the week. Thus, every Christian Sabbath day is a commemoration. It is a commemoration of the church's risen Lord, that He lives and that He reigns over that whole church of God. Thus, every Lord's Day, actually, the church commemorates Easter. Children, Easter, we just commemorated. Easter was the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Ah, that was a day when that church that was sorrowing, it was mourning. And it had lost, in their thought, all the grounds. Everything had fallen out right from underneath them in their own estimation. And then, on that Easter day, they were made so glad. And in that day, they knew that their Lord did live. And that is now actually the commemoration of every single Lord's Day in the Christian church. Remember the Sabbath day. So what does Sabbath mean? That means to rest, to be quiet. Do you rest? Doesn't mean sloth, but it means to be quiet. Children, how is it on the Sabbath day? Are you also a little bit quiet? I know you're all full of energy, but are you also a little bit quiet? On that Sabbath day, on the Sunday, because that is indeed a special day. That word comes, the Sabbath, from a Hebrew word that means to cease. That means to stop. That brings us to our second thought, the purpose of the Sabbath day. Originally, the Sabbath day was to look back. It was looking back upon the works of creation, we read. After His work of creation, then the Lord also, He did rest on that seventh day. And thus, we may ask, boys and girls, does God need to rest? No, God does not need to rest. But that only means that he ceased and that he stopped. And what do you read? Look over that again when you come home. If you read about the creation and you read over and over again, and God saw what he had made. And behold, he says, it was very good. So what did he do when he was finished laboring, we call it? Then he stopped and he looked and he beheld. And thus it was that God took a delight in his creation, everything that he made. And he took a delight in himself. He magnified himself. He glorified himself for all the things that he had created and made. And now it is this magnification, this glorification of himself that God is commanding also of his creature. That man would also look, that man would also stop, that he would cease, that he would meditate. Do we ever cease? Do we ever stop working and look at all the labor of our hands? Because the fruit of all the labor of our hands cannot come from us. Do we ever look back then upon our daily work, upon our weekly work, and say, now all of this, how it needed the blessing of the Lord, how that I could not actually take one step and give one blessing unto myself unless that came from heaven, all that in all of the works of our hands, that God may be magnified. But now that Christian Sabbath now actually includes more. What do our fathers say? That all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life, the eternal Sabbath. Thus, the Sabbath day here below, that is to be the beginning, it says, of the eternal Sabbath. What is now the eternal Sabbath? In the eternal Sabbath, there will be a ceasing from sin. That is what now the church is looking forward to, isn't it? That no sin shall enter into that place. Oh, it will be a ceasing, as we read here, from my evil works. Do you desire that? Do you long for that sometimes? That you may just cease from all your sin. And our fathers say that should not be just on the Sabbath. No, they say that should be all the days of my life. But now the Sabbath, that is a certain picture of what all the days of my life should be, and also what that eternal life actually is. Because to cease from sin, that is, congregation, the true rest. Do you think so too? Sabbath, that is rest. And now to cease from sin, that is the true rest. It is the deliverance from bondage, the Bible says. It is the deliverance from slavery. Do you ever feel your slavery to sin? Do you ever desire to be delivered from this bondage through church is a militant church. And that true church is not able to rest as long as that troubled sea of their heart is always casting up its mire and its dirt. What is now the only true rest? Because Paul says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. What now is that rest? That is a spiritual rest. That is an eternal rest. Because Paul says, if Jesus, or Joshua, actually, had given them rest, if Joshua gave them rest when they came into the land of Canaan, that was supposed to be the land of rest. But now Paul says that was not the aim. The final aim, that's only a picture, because if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Then there should have been nothing left. So Canaan was not the end. Canaan was only a picture. It was a picture of another rest that the Lord is speaking of in his word, is a rest in our soul. It is a spiritual rest. And it is to end in an eternal rest. I say, what is that rest? Oh, the Apostle Paul also speaks about that. He says, for he that hath entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. So he speaks about the creation again and about God resting from his works. And he says, when man now, he enters into that rest of God, that spiritual rest, then he ceases from his works. Thus, a man enters into rest when? You know when he enters into rest? Congregation, he enters into rest when Christ is revealed to his laboring soul. Was he ever revealed to your laboring soul? That is the first time in our life that a man will taste what rest is. Oh, to enter into that true rest, that we taste something. You ever taste rest for your body? You say you have been laboring. And you work hard. You work hard too, young people, right? And then you come home. And you say, I just want to sit. Feels good, right? And then you rest. And now that church, they are laboring. Oh, how is that for them? Than to enter into rest. When they may see him. When he is revealed to their soul. Whose work, he says, it is finished. It is completely finished. That was his active obedience. That was his passive obedience. Or then that church who has despaired of all of their own work, they may now enter here. Oh, then he begins to cease. He just begins. There is just an entrance. We're just at the door. So he just begins, our Father say, to cease from his evil works. You say evil works? That man, he has been doing everything. He has been trying with all his might Oh, that he may do what is right. That he may walk uprightly. That he may think uprightly. That he may speak uprightly. Are they now evil works? Just ask him. Just ask him. Not in the beginning, but I mean later. When he is taught a little. And then he will say with God's servant that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And now when the Lord is opening this for his people, what is it? Ah, it is grace. Grace. It is, they see, I am working. I am working. And I am working. And I am rejecting. By all my work. That's evil too, isn't it? Because the Lord, he says it is without money. And is without price. We don't want that, do we? No, we want some credit, don't we? It belongs to that old covenant congregation. The Lord gets all the glory and none for us. Oh, just a wretched, a miserable, an undone sinner. Not able to change his own heart. Ah, then a man ceases finally. He ceases from all his evil works. Oh, that the Spirit of God may just work in him. Let us sing a moment. 159, 1 and 2. Oh God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from thee. But thou wilt hear my cry. And what follows? 1 and 2 of 159. that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That is not only on the Sabbath day, but they say all the days of my life that the Lord would have us to cease from our own works. But that brings us to our third thought, because the Sabbath is actually the means for this, is it not? What does it mean to yield myself to the Lord, to work by His Holy Spirit in me? What does that mean? Can only point to one thing, and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the story, right, children? I've said it before to you. Naaman, Syrian leper. What? Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? Oh, then he is fighting, isn't he? And then that servant, so respectfully, then he is speaking that small word. Oh, if the Lord had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Now you see that man, Naaman. Ah, he has his fish in the air. What happens? Walk him down. You see that man? Just look at him. All of a sudden, there is a change. It's change, you say, in his countenance. The change in his whole body. And what is it? The body comes to rest. The body comes to cease. The body is not going to fight anymore. No, we read, then went he down. He yielded. He yielded. That is what now our fathers say. And now ask yourself, did you ever yield in such a way? Did your soul ever yield unto Christ? Unto Christ. That is, when you were at the end of all of your labor, you know then something of what this yielding is. Ah, if you know this in your soul that is between you and God, if you know that, then you know something of what it was for Bunyan's pilgrim to come in at that wicked gate. Ah, there was also yielding. When he may enter into the gate, then you know what it is to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Do you know that in your life? Then a soul says, I don't have to do anything. He sees it. Then that soul says, I know how now God's children are saved. With their hands down. Their hands down. Yielding. Oh, what did David say? He says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Oh, that sanctuary, that is now the instituted means whereby the Lord is giving these blessings unto his people. Not that he never gives them to them when they are in their home, but especially on the Sabbath day, and especially in his house on the Sabbath day, that is the reason, the very reason that the Lord has instituted the Sabbath day. He did not have to institute a Sabbath day. He has done this for this particular reason. Therefore, when the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, our fathers say this means that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. What are they speaking about? They're speaking about the theological schools. That is, those schools where the ministers, that's the ministry that is being maintained. I will read you for a moment what Ursinus writes in his catechism on this Lord's Day. Unless the arts and the sciences be taught, men can neither become properly qualified to teach, nor can the purity of doctrine be preserved and defended against the assaults of the heretics. So that means, he says, it is not just that we need to teach our children Bible, but also, he says, the arts and the sciences, that is, the education of our children also, and also those in the theological school, that is, in the natural theology, that is also so very, very important for the defense, that is, to defend the true doctrine. Thus, Christian education, that is so very, very important, because Paul says the time is coming that they will not endure sound doctrine. Thus, we need to know, young people, we need to know how to defend, not only what to know the truth, how do you defend it? Oh, when you are fathers and mothers, when you are office bearers, and when Satan will come with all of his errors, how are you going to defend the truth? You say the minister does that, but this minister will not be always here, nor all the other ministers, nor these office bearers, and you are going to be in their place. Ah, you need to be instructed. Do you see now the importance of what learning is? There is a direct connection between the Sabbath day and the holy ministry and all of the offices that are in that church of God. And the fourth commandment commands us to maintain them. That is not just to have enough money for them. We need that too. But that is not only that. No, we need to maintain them also with defending them. The apostle says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear of him if there are no preachers? Thus we are called to pray for them, for office bearers. We are also called to uphold them as men who have faults. You say, must I bear with their faults? Well, the Lord did not, it doesn't please him to send perfect people. It doesn't please him to send holy angels to do that work. No, they are men like you. All they are every one of them will have a fault. We may be honest with one another, but let us not break it down. No, the Lord says maintain it. We maintain it in our prayer. We maintain it in our conversation. And we are never undermining that all belongs to that fourth commandment, and that I, especially on the Sabbath day, Sabbath that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments publicly, to call upon the name of the Lord, and to contribute to the relief of the poor. Thus the Sabbath was sanctified, it was set apart, that's what sanctified means, especially for the public worship. We heard about the private part. We say that's the most important, right? That's the first commandment, that God must be worshipped. That is in our heart. Now, the fourth commandment is speaking not just of private worship, but in the fourth commandment, the Lord is commanding that there will be a public worship. The old and the sick, they cannot come up to the house of God. It is a blessing that they may listen in our days. But let us not ever abuse that. All because there is a promise. It is the promise of the Lord that He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there He says, there am I in the midst of them. Thus the Lord is also commanding and demanding that there is also a coming together in His house. Oh, if the Lord gives us to be like David, then we're going to say like David, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Maybe you say, young people, but I am unconverted. I'm unconverted. So I don't have such a desire. And therefore you are excused. We ask you this. Why are you unconverted? Why? Do you have a right to that? To just live as God's creature with a wicked heart, no desire after Him, turn your back to Him while He gives you food and drink and clothing and shelter and everything? We have no right to be unconverted. When we say that, do we blush? Do we get red? Oh, congregation, we have obligations. We have duties unto our Maker, unto our Creator. And the Lord has now given us means. Those means wherein He is converting. That is the way that the Lord is giving these blessings unto us. He also commands us, it says here, to use the sacraments. Baptism. Say we use that. Lord's Supper. Yeah, well, I can't go there. Can't go there. But we are commanded. Say, but I have no divine right. And why not? Why not? Congregation, we cannot take that away. We have obligations. I don't say you should be bold. I don't say you should be more forward. No. We have to use them right. And not in a wrong way, but that ease. That sloth that belongs to our flesh and that belongs to our nature as it is fallen is not to be excused. Not for one moment. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. In that way, then the Lord sets aside one day apart devoted to Him, and then forbidding all our daily labors in order to free us, that we would be able to devote that day unto Him. And now, congregation, the Lord says it has to be kept. Kept holy. Kept apart. Kept separate. Say, must we not worship on other days? Of course. But the Sabbath is especially for that public worship service. And then the Lord will have us to set everything else aside. Everything especially that hinders that service. Not that you cannot eat, not that you cannot drink, not that you cannot help your neighbor if he needs to be helped, that you cannot feed a poor man, no. No, that is because we are also commanded to give alms for the poor. But the Lord will be served, and the Lord will be served in public. And that is before the whole world. Because if we don't gather, then that whole world out there does not know to whom they are called by God to join themselves. Then there is no visible church. But the gathering of the church, that is a sign, that is something that is going forth into the world, that will also, and ought to draw them, but it will also testify against the world, that that church is set in the midst of that city, of that town, and that the world may see that, and see how that people act, hear how that people speak, and they had no desire for this. The Sabbath day is not our day. The Sabbath day, congregation, is the Lord's day. The Lord says, not for doing thine own pleasure, not for doing thine own ways, not also even, he says, for speaking thine own words. Oh, how guilty are we? Not for speaking our own words. What is our conversation on the Sabbath day? About this and that and that and that and tomorrow and this week? Yeah, why? We have so little to say, right? So little to say. It's all our own fault. But you know what the Lord says? He says that if we will call His Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, then thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and I will feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Ah, that is for reverencing my holy day, and to call that holy day a delight. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Not thy son, not thy daughter, that you may train them from when they are very young. They need to play when they're young, of course. But we need to train our children, that is, in the worship of the Lord. Habit, that is not enough. No. But habit, once a week, a Sabbath, that the Lord says, the Lord is using that. Knowing His creature, who He made, and He knows how that He has made us, that we have not that habit, parents, teaching that habit to our children, what is now going to happen? Or do we have also that habit to faithfully come up onto that unto that house of God, nor thy cattle, that is not for their sakes merely, but that is for our sakes, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that is proof, that is not just ceremonial, because the ceremonial laws, the stranger was not involved in, but also the stranger that was within their gates, because that is now something that pertains actually to the whole world. Goes back to creation, O congregation, if the Lord would only make our heart like David's heart. Right, young people? You say, if you can be glad about something in this world, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to go on vacation maybe this summer, whatever you look forward to. Ah, if you could look forward to the Sabbath day like that, you think that's possible? It is possible. It is possible. There are people here, they can tell you about. They can tell you about that. You say the Sabbath day is over. And say, I wish it was Sabbath day tomorrow. And they want that service in the house of the Lord to go on and on. Ah, what are we doing on the Sabbath day? We come up faithfully to that house of God. Oh, I think I may commend you in that. I may commend you in that. That we see you all here so faithfully. What are you doing now at home? I don't know that. Are you now reading? Are you now seeking? And what are you reading, young people? You don't just sleep it out, right? You may take a nap, of course. It's also for rest. But it is not for sloth. Oh, and now what are you doing with it? Okay. Also in the week. What do you do with it? Are you now a doer of the word, as James says? When you are warned, we say we don't belong here, doing this and that, our dress and so on. We are warned. What are we doing with it? Just go on. All of this will be brought back to us on that day. And now do you seek the salvation of your soul? Or are you just curious? You say, this is interesting. In the Bible, you read of this and that and that. Oh, what about this and that and that and that? And what does the Apostle Paul say? Foolish and unlearned questions avoid. David was not looking at all those things. There are so many things we can talk about. But David was not looking at them all. You know why? Because David was a sinner. That is why. And because David needed a Savior. A Savior. That is why. And then the Lord showed him the beauty of that Savior in his sanctuary. And then David said, oh Lord, let me dwell there. Let me dwell there forever, forever. That was his desire. And now he's got it. Now he has his desire. And so will everyone get it who desires with him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may acknowledge thee for this opportunity and for the ability to bring a little bit of thy blessed word of truth. Bring it in our hearts, Lord. Thou alone can bless it. Thou alone can shine upon us and give us life, that sun and shield. Oh, give it to each one, young and old together. Bring us safely home. Give us desire to read, to search thy holy scriptures. Make us a sinner before God and show unto us thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that we might see him, that we might know him, and that he may be precious unto our poor souls, and that we might yield ourselves, all with our hands down, to work in us by thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou care for us in the week to come? Help us in the meetings which we hope to be together in. Remember those who hope to be united in that bond of holy matrimony. Remember us next Sabbath also, those that must read in thy house and us. And when we hope to serve in our branch, wilt thou be on our right and on our left, and grant thy indispensable and undeserved blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 372, come all ye servants of the Lord, lift up your voice with one accord, Jehovah's name to bless, ye that are standing night by night within the house of his delight, his glorious name confess. 1 and 2 of 372. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.